Bigfoots claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
God's gonna put a cancer in the butthole. God's gonna put a cancer in the butthole of every sodomite. Every sodomite's butthole will get cancer in the butthole. It'll burn and burn and burn. They won't be able to sit down because of the burning in their butthole. He can't sit down. He's got a burning in his butthole. He's got a fire. He's got a flame coming out of his butthole. God's going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. You're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. If you thought that AIDS was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet until you see the flaming butthole. Your butthole will be flaming, and you will not be able to sit down until you have a flame coming out of your butthole. And there'll be people walking around all over America with flames coming out of their butthole. And everyone who takes it up the rear, everyone who has a penis injected in his butthole, when that penis comes out, the flame will start burning, because ain't nobody gonna stick no penis in that flame. That flame will be an eternal flame coming out of the butthole of every sodomite. Flame coming out of the butthole, flame coming out of your butt. That man pulls that penis out of you, a flame is going to come out, and nobody will ever stick a penis in your butthole again, because it will be on fire. You ain't seen nothing. Do you see the flame coming out of T.D. Jakes' butt? Ah, lightning bug. Got a flame coming out of his butt. All flames shooting out of their behind. You're going to see the power of God. Flame of fire is going to come out that butthole.
We're turning into a bunch of self-centered, walking dead trash. And we're such zombies. We're such self-centered crap that we don't even notice hell itself rising up against us. And my very spirit is just absolutely ready.
My whole spirit just goes,
still a very satisfying feeling.
Welcome to the Crypto Report.
Welcome to this week's Crypto Report. It is May the 7th, 2017, so here we go. Well, I guess the first news that I'm going to talk about is something that probably very few of you care about, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because it's about me, which makes it very important. Asmodor.com is going to be online again, hopefully, in the next few weeks or months. I'd gone to redesign it with the help of a volunteer, and as I've discussed in the past, the volunteer who claimed he knew what he was doing basically destroyed my website and ran off with my files. I've never been able to get him to come back and tell me, hey, here's my files, I want my files back. So there went like 4 years of work, but I'm told that maybe it can be hunted down on a server, but maybe not because of the way things went with the website. But anyway, I decided a few weeks back to go and try to see about getting the website back up. And I went and checked and made sure. And the URL had lapsed because the email that I used to get my notification that it was time to pay it again, that email was no longer an email that exists. And so, long story short, I went through the process of getting that URL back, and hopefully we'll be rebuilding the website at some point. But to be quite frank with you, I don't really have time for this, and although I could probably slap together some cheap unprofessional thing, that's probably not what's going to happen. Now, if there's any of you out there that would like to participate in this process, and you know what you're doing, and you've built websites, and you can show me that you've built them, the ones you've built, and prove to me that you actually built them, I would love to have your help. There might even be shekels in it for you. So, I guess you could hit me up in a private message on the Daily Stormer BBS. That's really the only way that I have to get hold of me right now. I have emails, but and Skype and all that, but I'm not giving it out on the air. I get tired of the death threats, the threats to rape my mother and so forth. You know, when you have to dig through 100 of those to get to a legitimate business-related email, it's a pausing experience, trust me. I mean, yeah, I know that they're all BS, but I mean, you just get tired of seeing that crap. But anyway, the reason that I want to bring this website back is that, you know, that's a place where I go and I ruminate on things that may not be necessarily, you know, what Daily Stormer wants, or maybe not even necessarily the type of thing that I talk about on my show or whatever, you know, just basically my brain droppings or reflections on what's going on with me here lately and that sort of thing. And also I would like that to be the flagship website to host. I'd like to put the old Hidden Mysteries radio shows back up. It would be a place out on the internet for the Crypto Report. And as I always keep saying, at some point I would like to do a show, a daily type show, or at least several weekdays a week, where I go 2 or 3 hours where it's just me and we're able to take calls. But so far, I have not had the agency to get everything together to where I could take calls, or I would already and broadcast live, or I would already be doing that. I'm very busy. I have a lot of stuff going on in my personal life, and I try to get a few stories out a week for Daily Stormer. I try to do some video projects here and there. I have the radio show every week, and you know, with the state of the way contributions to the show go, I have to also figure out how I'm going to do things like pay the electric bill. So, you know, that it's just a slow process, but hopefully at some point I'll have all of this going. And on the contribution front, and I'll probably address this later too, I will not be accepting donations or contributions to the Crypto Report or any of my other projects until the Daily Stormer's Legal Defense Fund, which is a bounty, as they call it over on WeSearcher, until that thing is fully met, which is $150,000, I will not be accepting donations here. Of course, based on past performance, that'll add a whole $6 or so to to the defense fund. But anyway, let's move on to other things. Since I brought up the defense fund, let's talk about that first. As I'm sure most of you are aware, the SPLC, using their Jewess Tanya Gersh, are suing Andrew Anglin and the Daily Stormer for the online speech of people who have nothing to do with the Daily Stormer other than that they're readers and fans and that sort of thing. There's a little bit of a backstory, and I'll go through it as quickly as possible. Everyone knows who Richard Spencer is. He's the head of NPI.org. He's the guy, I believe he's the guy running altright.com. He is the guy who does the vlogs on the altright.com YouTube channel. He famously does college speaking tours where all the mud people and the communists and the Jews roll out and, you know, try to rip, tear, destroy. If you want to see what one of his events is like, Google A&M Blitzkrieg, Daily Stormer. And just any combination of those words, Daily Stormer, A&M Blitzkrieg. I think just A&M Blitzkrieg will do it for you. It'll bring up the story from last December when I went to A&M to cover one of his events and to counter-protest the no platform for fascist types. And of course, they gave me a giant platform, and they gave Spencer an even bigger one. But yeah, this screaming, you know, putting on masks and getting geared up for violence and screaming about no platform for fascists, that doesn't seem to work, because all media interviewed me that day. And so I got plenty of platforms. And of course, we've got our own platforms that they can't take away from us. But anyhow, so, you know, Spencer is a guy who, whatever you think of the things he says, and I certainly disagree with a lot of the things he says, but, you know, he's a good face for, you know, at least the friendlier side of our movement, I guess is a way to put it. And he definitely causes lots of feels to be hurt and lots of neg holes to be paused and all that whenever he goes. Just the fact that his name is mentioned and he's going to show up at on campus. I mean, you think they get mad about Milo and Ann Coulter and such. I mean, Richard Spencer is just the nuclear option when it comes to that sort of thing. So his mother, who does not share his politics, owns, or his parents, I should say, his parents own a, I believe the backstory is that they own a vacation home in Whitefish, Montana, which is a little vacation type community where people go to snow ski. And a while back, his mother built a multi-use business building in the town that was, you know, really nice little building for a little town like that on the bottom floor. It was, you know, it was rented out for businesses, and I, you know, one assumes is things like ski rental, that sort of thing. And on the top floor, they had basically apartments that I guess you'd call them lodges or whatever, since it's, you know, people are coming to stay in them for the vacation season. And this Tanya Gersh, who is a member of several Jewish organizations in Whitefish. And remember, Whitefish is a tiny community. I think, if I remember correctly, there were something like 7 Jews that lived there. And, you know, the closest thing that they have to a Jewish community is they have a kosher Torah, whatever that is, where they can have their, they can meet at their homes and have their Passover and such. And, you know, they've got her thing, and they, and they've got this thing called Love Lives Here. And so Gersh contacts Sherry Spencer and pretty much starts to shake her down. She says, look, I've already contacted the people renting your business, and we've told them they're going to have to find some other place to rent their business from, or we're going to show up here with these Jewish activists and these reporters, and we're going to tar them all with the brush of anti-Semitism and racism unless you sell the building. And then this Tanya Gersh, who is a realtor, even offers to broker the sale. And she says, well, you know, it's against my firm's policies to broker it for free, but I'll broker it for the minimum brokerage, and it'll all be wonderful. I already have a buyer and all this. Well, Sherry Spencer took to Medium.com and explained how the whole thing went. It was a giant shakedown operation. And so the Daily Stormer called for people to let Tanya Gersh and her husband, Judah Gersh, that doesn't sound Jewish, does it? Who's an attorney there in Whitefish. Let them know what you think about these Jewish shakedown tactics and that we're not going to allow it anymore. Well, months on down the line, suddenly the SPLC is involved and they're underwriting a lawsuit where they're claiming that Tanya Gersh has suffered so terribly and no one should ever suffer like this. And they try to paint this extortionist whore out to be the victim of this whole thing. Well, she's the victim of nothing. She got 1% of a taste of what she was threatening to do to Richard Spencer's mother, who doesn't even share his politics. And so, you know, and this has been a Jewish tactic forever. If they, you know, if you're red-pilled on the Jewish question and you're not afraid to speak out on it, well, by golly, they'll find somebody in your family and they'll put the thumb screws to them to make you quit. And they ran up against a brick wall this time. And like I said, they not only got what they were going to hand out, but they didn't like it. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? These Jews can try to force you to eat humble pie all day long, but if you hand them one spoonful, and oh my God, it's another Holocaust. And that's basically what we've got going here. Now, the SPLC is just awash in money, millions upon millions of dollars that they get in contributions every year. And they have a giant army of Jew lawyers to go after anybody. And they are coming after the Daily Stormer. And it's going to cost a lot of money to defend against this stuff. And nobody is trying to run and hide. We're ready to fight this thing. And what it's going to take is money. Now, I'm pulling up the WeSearcher right now. Now, I wrote an article a few days back because it had gone up to about $62,000 over a week or two, and then it just died. And so I wrote an article reminding everybody, hey, this thing's here, and you should be contributing to it. And it went up, you know, to into the 90,000s of dollars. Now it's at $100,866. That's what I'm looking at right now. That's 68% of the goal has been met. But here's the thing. There are well over 150,000 unique visitors to the Daily Stormer, to dailystormer.com, every single day. I don't know what the monthly visits are, but the yearly average is headed towards, and you know, the magic number, 6 million unique users a year. And guess how many people have donated? 1,337 out of 150,000 unique daily readers. 1,337 people have contributed. Now, if you're one of the people out there listening to this show and you're one of the one, you're not one of that 1,337, you should be very ashamed of yourself. And here's the thing, whether you like me or you like Andrew Anglin or you hate us or whatever, none of that matters. Even if you don't like the Daily Stormer, but you consider yourself a member of the alt-right or a fellow traveler of the alt-right, it is in your best interest to donate to this. Because what these Jews are trying to do, they're not just trying to take down the Daily Stormer. Now, of course, that'll be a great victory for them. Because the Daily Stormer is it's the most effective pro-white organ of any kind, whether you're talking media, news, whatever, since World War II. It's the most important thing that's happened to white nationalism since World War II. And maybe a lot longer than that. Who knows? But definitely since World War II, nothing's been this big. And, you know, I mean, if it were just a matter of letting the Daily Stormer go down, then it would still be a big deal. But that's not really what's going on here. What they are suing over is they are suing over the speech, not even the actions, just the speech of people who Andrew Anglin does not know and has no control over. And the speech that they're talking about is things like, you know, hey, why are you Jews doing this? You know, I mean, any of these crazy threats that she claims she received by email, it's very unlikely that our people sent those. Thus, most likely, like, a Jew false flag where she emailed herself through a VPN, or, you know, even more likely, you know, some of the Jew lawyers at the SPLC emailed them through a VPN, you know, making these horrible threats. But, you know, the thing that the readers of the Daily Stormer are most likely guilty of is the same thing that we were all guilty of during the presidential campaign season is, you know, pictures of her in cartoon gas chambers or something like that. And oh my God, how terrible. And you know how it is. Every time these Jews get one of these, they start screaming that Hitler is coming back to life to Holocaust them again. And so what's going to happen here, if this lawsuit does not come out the way we want, a legal precedent is going to be set. And that precedent is going to be that it is basically illegal to point out Jews on the internet. It's going to be illegal to shitpost to Jews on the internet. And you know what that means, don't you? That means they're going to be coming after your ass, you anonymous shitposters. And you think that's not true, go check out what Kurt Eichenwald's up to. I mean, I don't know how many people he's had arrested so far over flashing animated GIF pictures. We know for a fact the FBI has gone and gotten one, and he's given them these lists of all these other people that have done it. And by the way, don't send him those damn things. It just plays into the Jew victim narrative. I could go into what a bunch of bogus crap Eichenwald is, but that's not the point here. Less than 1% of you daily readers have donated. Now, the minimum donation for this WeSearcher is $10. Now, you're going to try to tell me that you can't come up with $10? I don't want to hear that. I mean, you can get $10 anywhere. Tell your parents you need $10 for condoms. They'll give you $10. They'll give it to you quick. You tell them that. But, you know, I'm joking on that one, of course. But there's some kind of way you can get $10. And I don't even know why I'm saying this. It's so ridiculous. $10 is absolutely nothing, the value of today's money. But you go over there and you post it. It doesn't matter how small the donation is. We're looking for numbers of donations. Now, there are some really nice, large donations that have been made. Like the great comedian Sam Hyde contributed $5,000 and he left a really nice comment. He said, starting to really think something's up with these Jewish people everyone's talking about. What's the deal with these Jews? Something's up. Yeah. I got to say, Sam, I agree 100%. Alt-Right Andy. I'm sure you all know who Alt-Right Andy is. He posts all the good alt-right broadcasts, all the good podcasts and radio shows. He posts them. Well, he was posting them to his Alt-Right Andy channel. I think it got restricted to where he can't upload. And now I think the Sam Smith channel is his, but it's still the same guy. And he contributed $1,001. He said SPLC is extorting Anglin to stop him from showing that Gersh is extorting Spencer's mom. This is the most Jewish thing since the USS Liberty. Indeed it is, Andy. And by the way, thanks for uploading my shows. I appreciate it. Then there are all the anonymous donations. A lot of them with great comments. Well, here's some guy who's sadly at new. He contributed, I believe that says $501. It says, someone tell Gersh that she doesn't get to bring any friends from Smee, Malman, Dr. Pavlier, Button Lee, one of you. Follow me on Twitter. Okay, whatever. You can be as nonsensical as you want so long as you can donate that money. But yeah, you get to leave a message. It adds, even if you don't leave a message and you donate anonymously, it's you throwing your hat into the ring saying, okay, I am standing on the side of our speech and our people against these Jews. Here's a guy, an Anon. He says, I wish I could give, he gave 500. He said, I wish I could give the magic 6 million, but here's 500 instead. Better 500 than not a single one. And he's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And there are lots of people who have given big amounts and lots of people who have given what I still consider to be, I mean, I consider $100 a lot. I'm poor as hell. I put in $200 myself and I'm probably going to put in another $200 in a few days. But every time you donate, like I said, it makes that number go up. And you know, for a site that's got the readership that it does, 1,337 contributors. Like I said, if you're sitting out there and you're one of these people that reads the Daily Stormer every day, you know, the Daily Stormer has always asked for contributions to help the website run because you know, every type of way that you can get income, these Jews have taken it away from Anglin. They took away his PayPal. They took away his LiberaPay. They took away his Google Pay. They took away his Amazon Pay. And they took away Amazon partnerships and just anything else. All people have to do is complain and go, oh my God, it's neo-Nazis. That's got to be a violation of your hate speech rules in your TOS. And they take it right down. And so for the longest now, the only way that anybody can donate to the Daily Stormer, it's the same as what I was trying to do with the Crypto Report. It's just Bitcoin. And the vast majority of you out there don't want to learn how to use Bitcoin, even though, you know, I mean, if you take contributing to websites and radio shows that you like and stuff completely out of the equation, it's still a great place for you to put some of your assets, at least, because it's the only monetary system out there that's not completely kite. And I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how much farther to go into this except to say, look, if you enjoy your ability to say what you think online, if you think that naming the Jew is a good thing to do, and if you believe that they are the world's foremost problem, and you don't want to see them achieve everything that they could possibly achieve, these Jews, if you want to stop them in their tracks and you want to demoralize them, get over there and give $10 or more to this WeSearcher bounty. And here's the thing. If the $150,000 is not met by the time the bounty is up, then WeSearcher gives all the donations back to the people who donated. Now, if you don't want to use, and also, there's no reason for you not, there's no reason in the world you can't donate, you know, because on the WeSearcher, they've got PayPal, they've got all major credit cards, and they've got Bitcoin. And if all those options are not good enough for you, then you can take yourself right to the post office or anywhere they sell money orders, and you can buy a money order. And you can put that money order in an envelope and put a first-class postage stamp on it, and you put down the address that's listed on the front page of the Daily Stormer over on the right-hand side where it says Donate to the Daily Stormer. You click on that. There's a P.O. Box address that you can mail that envelope to. So, you know, if you don't have the agency to do one of these things, if you don't have a credit card, you can't pay PayPal, and you don't do Bitcoin, then you can certainly lick a stamp. And if you don't have the agency to do any of those things out of all that whole list, how are you listening to this show? How did you possibly even make your way to some place that has Wi-Fi with some type of a device that would connect to that Wi-Fi? If you don't have the agency to do this. And anyway, that's enough about that. Donate to the Daily Stormer versus SPLC Legal Defense Fund. And just to make it easy for you, I'm going to put the link in the article that this show is posted in. So no excuses. And there's one other thing you should all do. Even if you've donated, you should share this link many, many times every week. You should share it and share it and share it and tell people to donate to this. There should be at least 150,000 donations on here. We should raise so much money that if he wants to, that Anglin could turn around and countersue the SPLC and Tanya Gersh into oblivion, because that's what they deserve. All right, enough of that. We've got some pretty good news coming out of North Carolina. It's something that's been needing to be done for a while. This is from U.S. News and World Report, which I guess would more accurately be described as U.S. Jews and World Report. North Carolina House votes to protect drivers who hit protesters. The North Carolina House of Representatives approved legislation in a lopsided 67-48 vote Thursday that would shield drivers from civil liability if they collide with protesters. Now, that's good, okay? But I think they should have been a little more aggressive in this. I think that it should shield drivers from civil or criminal liability, not only if they collide with protesters, but if they actually put the transmission in reverse and back over them a few times. I think not only should they be shielded from liability, it should kind of be like that, you know, one of these games where, I don't know, maybe they give you a free lottery ticket or something for every one of those that you hit. It says, opponents say, now, who could these opponents be? Well, of course, they're the Mud People and the Communists and the Anti-Whites and the Jews and the Democrats. And I know that there's lots of overlap between those groups. But it says, opponents say the legislation is unnecessary and may give drivers the false impression that they can maliciously run over activists. One Democrat warned that it would make the state the butt of jokes about being full of, quote, dumb rednecks, unquote. Oh, well, isn't that neat? Dumb rednecks. Well, let's see. What's dumb? Is it dumb to think that your roads, streets, highways, freeways, and interstates are places where, you know, multi-thousand-pound metal motor vehicles are allowed to travel at a high rate of speed to transport people from point A to point B? Or is it a place where you're supposed to be able to run out in the road with impunity every time you're upset that some criminal nigger got shot? I mean, which is it? Because I would think the dumbass is the one who chose method B. The interstate is no place for the feral, wild Negro population to be expressing their dismay at the law being enforced. You know, there are better venues for that. I can think of many, like, I don't know, under a rock, in a prison, in a concentration camp, hanging from a tree. These are all great places for that, not the highway. But Republican proponents who sent the measure to the state Senate by veto-proof margin said recent encounters between activists and drivers make the reform both sensible and necessary. Of course. Last year, people protesting the fatal shooting of Keith Lamont Scott by a Charlotte police officer blocked roadways during, at times, chaotic protest-related activities. These people are nuts to run in front of cars like they do and say, me and my buddy here are going to have to stop this 2.5-ton vehicle, GOP State Rep. Michael Special said in support of the bill, the News and Observer reports. If somebody does bump somebody, why should they be held liable? Democratic State Representative Henry Mishaw, however, points out that North Carolina is one of just four states with a pure contributory negligence rule, which means it's already impossible to collect a payout if the injured party is even 1% at fault for an accident. But what this lying leftist bastard is not telling you is that you get a case in front of a jury and you let that jury decide who's at fault. Well, just guess what happens if that jury's full of women and pavement apes? They will decide that if this Negro jumped out of an airplane and suddenly landed in 3 feet in front of you and you hit them, that they're still not even 1% at fault. I mean, anybody who's watched things like the OJ trial and thinks that, you know, and of course, I mean, the places that you're most likely to hit these Negroes, that's not going to be near where you live. That's going to be near where you're going to work or trying to go to the hospital or something like that. And it's going to be in a neighborhood where the inhabitants are mostly Negroes. And that's what you're going to get on the jury. He said, who demonstrates more than people of color, Mishaw said. It would give some folks the idea, he says, to intentionally run over people, quote, because you've got a group of black folks out here or a group of Latinos out here. So he's saying, just flat out, he's saying that all of his white constituents, all those white people in North Carolina are just a bunch of dumb, toothless, racist crackers. It says the idea of immunizing drivers appears to have originated in North Dakota, where State Rep. Keith Kempenich proposed a similar bill in January after his mother-in-law was allegedly swarmed on a roadway by protesters opposed to construction of the Dakota Access oil pipeline. The measure was rejected in a 41-50 vote in February. Well, that was dumb. North Dakota sucks. Tennessee lawmakers also took up the cause after a driver ran into protesters opposed to an action by President Donald Trump and wound up with 5 or 6 on his hood. Sponsors were tight-lipped amid negative press, and the bill failed in committee in March. So they've got a bunch of cowards in the Tennessee legislature, too. The potential for bad press did not deter lawmakers in North Carolina, who passed the bill over a warning from Democratic Rep. Greg Meyer that it was inviting jokes about those dumb rednecks in the state. The bill says drivers are not protected from liability if they are willful or wanton in plowing over pedestrians, but are protected if they are exercising due care and hit someone who is participating in a protest or demonstration and blocking traffic in a public street or highway. Well, see, that just doesn't go nearly far enough. There are so many problems with this crap. I'm sure most of you know that when all these protests broke out because Coon Mike Brown got what he deserved, and the world was done a favor by shooting him after the giant chimp out he pulled. When they started rolling out and doing this stuff, these Negroes will block in, and it's not just the Negroes, the Antifa. I've seen Antifa do this too. They will block ambulances that have their lights and siren going. And they have no idea who's inside. I mean, could it possibly, it could just as easily be a person of color or an LGBT that they're so concerned about having a heart attack or a stroke or something, or bleeding out from a knife wound or whatever. Who knows? But they're going to block the ambulance because, by golly, they're showing everybody that these streets are their streets. And we need to just remove liability whatsoever. If you have your ass out there in that street where you're not supposed to be, if that light isn't green and you're in that crosswalk, it should just be all bets off. And that's my opinion on that. Well, it's going to be kind of a short show today. I'm running solo. I threw this thing together at the last minute. I considered not doing one. I tried to get a show together last week, but I had some time constraints and some scheduling problems, and so that didn't happen. But anyways, like I say, it's going to be a short one this week. Maybe an hour and a half long. And We're going to do a Q&A in the second half, and we're going to go to the break right now. And as always, we're going to have some nifty music for you, and we're going to have Lars von Gildhausen's Minutes from the Death Camp, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Crypto Report. We'll be right back after this break.
The Nazis massacre 6 million Jews. Two out of every three Jews in Europe were murdered in the genocide. Millions more innocent people were imprisoned and executed by the Nazis without mercy, without even a sign of mercy. Yet even today, there are those who want to forget the past. Nazis. Worse still, there are even those filled with such hate, total hate, that they want to erase the Holocaust from history.
Nazis.
Those who deny the Holocaust are an accomplice to this horrible evil and will never be silenced.
6 million.
We just won't. We will never, ever be silent in the face of evil again.
Nazis. McDonald. I voted you in, why aren't you responding? Can you see me from your tower, man? I'm down here at the bottom. I sent a million tweets in autumn, and I'm sure you got them. There probably is a problem, cause your POTUS now or something. I know the Secret Service keeps disturbances from bothering. But anyways, fuck it, what's been up, man? How's your daughters? My girlfriend's pregnant too, I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'ma call her? I'll name her Melania. I saw the bullying the media did to her and Baron. That was so disgusting, man. You seem like awesome parents. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I got a Trump sign in my yard and bumper stickers on my van. I got a closet full of posters, MAGA hats and pictures, man. I love how you own Rubio and Jeff. That shit was fat. Anyways, I hope you hit this, man. Hit me back just to chat. Truly yours, the only one who cherished you. It's White America. Dear Don, you still ain't called a rotus. I hope you notice, I ain't mad. I just think it's fucked up you ignore your voters. Remember when we talked outside your rally about jobs in Lafayette? You even signed an autograph on a MAGA hat for my little brother, man. He's only 6 years old. He waited in the blistering cold for you for hours. That's how much you give him hope. Our life is pretty shitty, man, and you're his fucking idol. The working class whites out here are struggling for survival. I ain't that mad though, I just don't like being lied to. Remember when we met in Denver? You said if I vote for you, you'd have my back. See, I'm like you in a way, don't like politicians either. All they do is cheat us, man, we really need a leader. That's why I could relate to your debates and all your speeches. Jobs are overseas now where production is the cheapest, and I don't really got shit else, so that shit helps when I'm depressed. I even got a tattoo saying MAGA on my chest. And twice I almost got beat up by guys who called me Nazi. I just want a future for our kids, why would they try to stop me? See, everything you said is real and I respect you cause you told it. My girl said you're just a show and won't trust you for a moment. But she don't know you like me, Donald. Bet my life that she's mistaken. The way you hugged those people on your stage, you wasn't faking. You gotta call me, man. I'll be the biggest supporter you'll ever lose if you keep up this barrier. Sincerely yours, White America. I don't give a shit about my base. You literally broke every single promise that you gave. I just saw it on the news, even the wall has been discarded. It was just a metaphor. Do you think we are retarded? Was my girlfriend right after all? Are you just another hooker? Cause it sure looks like you getting bossed around by Kushner. Who the fuck is this guy anyway? I didn't vote for him. First you said you're for the people, giving power back to them. Then you starting shit with Syria, launching missile strikes. And I see you in the room surrounded by a bunch of kikes. Remember the guys who called me Nazi, I was forced to fight. Guess what, I'm a Nazi now, I think those Nazis, they were right. I talked to them on Twitter and they brought me to the light. You no longer have a voice up in this country if you're white. I love you, Trump, and we'll still make this nation great again. In fact, I wanna thank you for starting my awakening. Your campaign pushed whites back together as a group and made us see the system is completely owned by Jews who kill us with immigration and degenerate our youth. I can't believe 2 years ago I used to laugh at David Duke. This was our last try voting, now it's about survival. And it's parasites like you who force us into voting with our rifle. I tore all your pictures down and put one of Hitler up. P.S. Looking forward to the war, we'll fuck all your bitches up.
Guten Tag, and welcome to my death camp. I am Lauritz von Gildhausen, and these are my minutes. Over the past few weeks, we've seen an uptick in meat space action from our side, with Identity Europa, Trad Workers Party, and more showing up in person and pushing back. From Auburn to Berkeley to Pikeville, there's been good turnout, and even more importantly, a very disproportionate impact from us as opposed to them. However, even as our brave lads take to the streets in order to reclaim them from the vile Antifa scum that has been in control of them for too long, it is important to remember that the streets are only half the battle, as most aptly displayed by the major Judaic gains in the swamp known as Washington, D.C. As written by the foreword, a new Jewish elite has risen under Trump. As opposed to the liberal-leaning Jewish activists, the new regime has invited in a cadre of Orthodox neo-Cohens. And indeed, the entire White House appear inundated with Semitic chutzpah. I won't bury you in all the names, but suffice it to say that the list of lobbyists and employees under Trump echoes harder than an activated vibrator in someone's check-in luggage. Not to stop there, daughter dearest Ivanka Trump has been running her mouth off again, this time to make sure that daddy makes the right decisions regarding Syria. After launching some missiles in that direction, the Shiksa-in-Chief has demanded that Syrian refugees has to be part of the discussion, which reads, America, you're getting Syrian refugees. This is what owning a crisis looks like. For my next item, I'm talking about something that is very emblematic of the times we live in. I'm talking, of course, about Juicero. For those of you not in the know, Juicero is a company that specializes in packaging chopped, mushed vegetables into nifty little packages for you to order to your door in a one-time or subscription basis, and they come in bundles of five for only $29.99. Once the packages arrive, you simply put them into your Juicero, trademark, blender, push the button, and lean back as this ultra-modern $400 piece of equipment brings an impressive 8,000 pounds of pressure to bear on the fruit package, squeezing the bejesus out of it and forcing the liquid into your glass. And presto, cold-pressed fruit juice. That's right, dear listener, for only $29.99 a week and a $400 one-off investment, you too can get five glasses of juice to make right in your kitchen. Only problem, those packages I mentioned earlier? Yeah, those are already juiced. It turns out you can squeeze the contents out with your hand. Oopsie, our bad. So, who is the tech genius come CEO who oversaw the production of this fantastic piece of technology? Doug Evans, incidentally, a Jew. And just how much did this fantastic startup company get in funding to produce this amazing indispensable product? $118.5 million. And to top it off, do you know who has promoted this absolutely useless, overpriced, ultimate idol of technology gone awry? None other than Ivanka Trump. Give me $118 million, and I would have brought you a new world order in a month. Instead, it's being frittered away on appliances that would make even the swippliest of hipsters cringe. God, I just love 2017. Not content with leaving the black pills at the door there, it would seem that the great border wall is slowly being taken off the table. As Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney said this week, Trump would sign a spending bill that does not include the funds to build a border wall. But that's not the only clue. Take Trump's speech last night. But listen to this, we've already seen a 73% decrease, never before happened on the southern border, since my election. You see what they're doing, right? So why do you need a wall? A pretty scathing giveaway, isn't it? To the impartial observer, it would appear that he's trying to walk back his promise to build the wall. However, I don't think it'll ever be completely off the table. No, I think good old Trumbo is gonna dangle the walls over the head of his always Trump supporters, like the proverbial carrot on a stick, so that they continue to back him until his tenure is over in the hopes of getting it. Newsflash, guys, you're not getting that wall. And now, on to the good news. A district judge has set an interesting precedent in Alabama by allowing the 88% white residents of the suburb of Gardendale to break away from the county's schools and create a new school district which reflects the demographic makeup. Whilst acknowledging that this was de facto segregation, the judge did not see any legal challenge to the citizens' desire to see the racial makeup of their schools mirror that of their area, and thus ruled in the favor of the citizens. These were my final minutes for a while, as other obligations have me running low on time. I appreciate all of you for listening in, as well as Asmodor for giving me the opportunity to speak my mind on his show. I will return at some stage, but for now, I'm on an indefinite hiatus. As always, thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
Well, it was good. great to have Lawrence's minutes while we had them. It was always a great addition to the show, and it's been my privilege to host those minutes here on the Crypto Report, and hopefully when Lawrence's schedule clears up or whatever, we'll start getting the minutes again. I don't know where you can go hassle him. I would like to set the troll army on him to demand the minutes, but no, I'm just kidding. Lawrence is one of the best guys you ever want to have a conversation with. His minutes have been a great addition to this or any show, and the work that he's doing now is important, and of course he's part of The Third Rail, which is just a great show. So and like I said, he's doing other things that keeps him a bit busy. So hopefully at some point in the future, we'll have the minutes back. But until then, good luck to you, Lawrence von Gildhausen. You're a great guy and a great ally to have. The alt-right is lucky to have a death camp superintendent like yourself. But moving on, as they say, time is money. So let's get right to this Q&A. Our first post in the Daily Stormer BBS post that I put up seeking questions and comments is from Soul Invictus. He says, "Hey brother, just went ahead and contributed to the Legal Defense Fund through the fundraising site because the Bitcoin shit is a pain in the ass." Well, thanks for donating to the Legal Defense Fund. He says, "I've gone through the whole days-long confirmation process for Circle, and even now it says my account isn't allowed to add funds." I'm assuming Circle is a Bitcoin wallet or service. "Is there a service you recommend for adding and sending funds? Because Circle and blockchain are both shitty, or at least not intuitive for me, though I don't see any reason why it should be any more difficult than setting up a PayPal account, which I have. I'm beginning to understand why it's so difficult to fundraise with only Bitcoin as an option, since it sucks. Also, don't understand why..." Okay. "Literally, the only reason I'm bothering with this Bitcoin garbage is to send you some money to show my support, so any advice would be helpful. Again, also willing to snail mail, gift card, or PayPal it to you." Okay, here's the thing. I've never used Circle or blockchain. The two things that I have used, and I haven't actually used them both. I use a wallet, and the wallet that I use is called Mycelium. It's a free download on Android. You can download it to your smartphone. It's probably on in the Apple Store too. I don't know. But it was very easy. I just downloaded the thing. And the thing is, I've never bought any Bitcoin. I'm told that, like, you know, you can buy Bitcoin right there in the Mycelium app. You just put in your credit card and buy some Bitcoin. And it should be easy. But I've been told that the chains are all really overloaded lately. So, like, you buy some Bitcoin, and it can possibly take a few days for all the confirmations to come through and the Bitcoin to actually be in your wallet. Now, I have a Coinbase account, but I haven't ever connected a bank account to it. That's how, with the wallet, like the Mycelium, you don't have to connect a bank account to it. You just buy some Bitcoin and you spend it. And it's the easiest thing in the world. Because, like, when I'm posting my Bitcoin address for contributions, I always also post a QR code. And in the Mycelium, it's very intuitive. You just click on to send Bitcoin, and the thing opens up and it says, "Do you want to send it with the Bitcoin address, or do you want to use a QR code?" And you can either enter in that Bitcoin address, or if there's a QR code, which everybody puts now, you just tap that and a QR code reader comes up and you hold it up to your computer screen over the QR code on there. And it's like, boom, okay, how much do you want to send? And you can choose to spend it in percentages of Bitcoin or in whatever currency you use. So, of course, instead of dividing whatever Bitcoin is worth today by U.S. dollars, I just click the U.S. dollar. If I want to send 50, I put in $50, and it's sent. Now, that's really easy. So that's my recommendation. If all you're wanting to do is use Bitcoin for sending stuff out, then yeah, just get the Mycelium wallet. It's free. It works well. And like I say, it may take you a few days to get the confirmation on your Bitcoin that you purchased to spend. Because the way that I've done it is I got the wallet, and I just started putting up my Bitcoin address for donations, and that's where my Bitcoin came from. So I've never had to buy any, so I can't advise you on that. But anyhow, he says, literally the only reason I'm bothering with this Bitcoin garbage is to send you some money to show some support. Well, here's the thing. As I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not accepting contributions or donations until the Daily Stormer versus SPLC Legal Defense Fund is fully funded. Once they hit that $150,000, then I'll consider taking donations. But to be honest with you, the donations that have come in have been so small and so sporadic that not only was it kind of pausing when I would go look now and then and see that, no donations or whatever, but it also, I mean, it just seems like it's not worth it, because every time I put a contribute, I get this crap all the time. I've got people telling me that, oh, you only do it for the shekels. You're only in it for the shekels. That's it. That's all you're about. Well, considering the paltry amount of donations that I get, and I was not exaggerating at the first of the show. As a matter of fact, I was overestimating, as I went back and looked, and no, it wasn't even $6 that I got during an entire month when, you know, my shows, just the ones on SoundCloud, you know, between the 11 or 12 shows that I already had on there, they'd been downloaded tens of thousands of times altogether, and I received less than $6. So it's worth way more than $6 to me to say, okay, I do not accept donations, period. You know, just so that I don't have to defend myself against accusations of only being in it for the money. Now, believe me, you know, and yeah, I'm kind of tooting my own horn here, but I don't think I'm being egotistical. I think I'm a guy who has a talent for writing and a talent for talking on the microphone. And if I took these talents and I was willing to just whore myself out and write for, you know, whatever garbage, you know, for the local newspaper, or if I were spinning records on the local radio station, or if I were doing a basic bitch conservative show, you know, talking about how race doesn't matter as long as we make them read the Constitution, you know, and all that kind of thing, then I would never have to worry about money, and nobody would ever claim that I was just doing this for the money. So that's the deal. I don't see myself accepting donations at all, at least for the foreseeable future. Okay, now, a user with a gobbledygook name of letters and numbers, kind of like you'd want to use for your email password or something, R083R73H, says, how do you think we should deal with types such as Milo, et cetera, now that he's coming back and all? Should we just ignore them, or should we use them to drag the alt-light over to the alt-right? I can't make up my mind. Well, if you think that there's some kind of way that you can use anything to drag people over to our side of things, that's always a good thing. And I don't think there's any point in ignoring Milo. I mean, he's like the world's most flamboyant homosexual, so there is no ignoring him. The thing is, he completely destroyed his brand when he went on that podcast and said the stuff that he said about how his this 30-year-old priest taught him how to properly suck cock when he was 13 or 14, and how that was a great thing, and how these old pederasts are helping these young boys to discover themselves and all that. Of course, it was a weird way that takedown occurred, because I think that thing was over a year old, and everybody basically knew that he had said things like that. And everybody knows that queers are all that way anyway. But, you know, so now Milo's gotten this, allegedly gotten $12 million. Now, just imagine what we could do with $12 million. If somebody gave Daily Stormer $12 million, hell, we'd have a 1,000-year right before you knew it. But, you know, just assuming that it's true that somebody gave Milo $12 million, well, what do you think that money's going to go on? That money's going to go on Milo's super expensive shopping sprees, and it's going to go on, you know, all the things that a queer needs to have proper butt sex. I mean, probably $1 million will go on lube. And then, you know, the rest of it's going to go on cocaine and weird amphetamines and black market Viagra and all that kind of stuff. And probably a lot of it for HIV meds, because who knows? I saw a Russian politician who seemed to know what he was talking about, and he said, all faggots have AIDS. So anyway, yeah. Nationalist for UK, thanks for your contribution, bud, but as I said when I posted this thing, there was a very short time between the posting and the time I was going to go record, so I have no time to read all these articles and then come up with answers for what you ask, but I'm sure they're good articles, and I'll have a look at them, you know, and maybe I'll have something to say on them. But just looking at what you've got here, one of them is about the French presidential election, and my prediction is Le Pen's going to lose bigly, and the French people don't deserve it, but she deserves it. And constantly softening her message and basically being a woman. She doesn't belong in politics, and she's proven it. I mean, she has just almost looks purposeful the way that she wrecked her chances, all this crap that she's done. And then now I hear that like there was some based black guy, France 24 was interviewing some black guy from the National Front. Well, what's a black guy doing in the National Front? Niggers aren't French. Come on. But yeah, so there's that. So kind of I gave you a little bit of an answer about something there. Well, let's see what else we got. Okay, well, Captain Von Crunch says, I'd like to start with a shout out to my Illinois Indiana book club niggas, Frankie Pierce, Avenger, and Vulgar. And then can we talk about how futile and pointless it is to red pill your wife or girlfriend? Thanks, my dude. Stay feral. Well, I will stay feral, I promise. I'm a feral human Bigfoot hybrid, and that's just how I roll. You know, this thing about red pilling your wife or your girlfriend, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, as a masculine, high testosterone alpha male, we always say, and it's true, that you shouldn't be worrying about a woman's politics, you know, as far as it goes, like when you're looking for a woman to date. That it's kind of retarded to be that, well, you know, I'm looking for the perfect alt-right waifu and all this. She's got to be red-pilled on the Jewish question and this and that and the other thing. And, yeah, no. If you're this high-T, aggressive, alpha male, then you choose the woman who's attractive to you. And, of course, I mean, there are considerations thrown. Then you don't want to go grab some kind of a gutter slut or whatever. You want as appropriate a partner as possible. But worrying about her politics is ridiculous, because if you are this powerful male, her politics are going to become yours. It's just natural. If your woman's impressed with you, then she's going to agree with you. And there are a lot of other problems to go with that stuff. And I'm certainly not the best person to ask about all this. But I was asked, so there's my answer. Now, if you're married to some woman or you're in a relationship with a female and you've, like, hidden your views all this time and she's some super liberal twat or whatever, it's probably absolutely futile and pointless at this point to try to red pill her, and you're probably in some kind of a weird situation that you need to reevaluate. And that's not me saying you need to leave the woman or whatever, but I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You should probably ask someone else, because I've been fortunate in that the majority of the relationships that I've been in, there wasn't any need for red-pilling anybody, because I come from redneck East Texas, and it was mostly, you know, your standard traditional redneck gals that I dated. So either that or they behaved as though they were. So anyway, that's the way that works, in my opinion. Okay, Tom Pans says, glad to see Crypto Report back. What do you think of the nationalist Bolshevik movement in Russia? Just a bunch of confused Ruskies or controlled opposition? I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look into this. I just heard the term. When I was watching the Weekly Sweat last night, the live broadcast, or the live stream of it, which I recommend that everyone go check out every time possible. If you're not subscribed to Honeypot Studios YouTube channel, you should wait until you're done listening to the Crypto Report, and then you should go directly to YouTube to Honeypot Studios and subscribe. It's a great fun time. They got Beardson over there. They got Paul Town. They've got TV Ameriquois. It's just a bunch of guys. I mean, they've got so many content producers coming back and forth. I'm never sure who is part of it and who's not. And I actually was on the Weekly Sweat a couple of weeks ago for like the last 30 minutes. And the poor guys, I didn't know. They didn't tell me ahead of time that like their YouTube partnership or whatever had some rules about language, and like two things that you couldn't say was you couldn't say nigger and you couldn't say faggot. And I think I told two long stories, one about niggers, one about faggots. And so I think Beardson had to spend about a week editing out the N words and the F words. So my apologies to Beardson for that, but it's a great show. And the live chat is really fun. You know, the Spurg chat they have on the side of the YouTube live streams. It's really, really fun. But I saw a lot of guys, they were talking about, we're Nat Bowls, we're nationalist Bolsheviks and all this stuff. And I swear, until I saw this question, I thought it was guys just joking and shitposting, which, I mean, they were, obviously. They weren't national Bolsheviks, but I thought they were making up the term national Bolshevik because it's so ridiculous. So I guess I'm going to have to go look into this. And if it's as retarded as I think it is, I guess I'll have to write an article for Daily Stormer about this retarded national Bolshevik movement. Now, if they're real nationalists and they're using Bolshevik because you know, they see it as something Russian that was revolutionary at one time and successful and all that, then fine. But even then, it's retarded because, as we all know, the Bolsheviks, the Commissars and all, were just overwhelmingly Jews. It was a Jewish movement. It resulted in the Soviet Union, which caused the deaths of millions and millions of people. And Bolshevism is just the opposite of nationalism. Bolshevism is internationalism. It's Jewish, which makes it double internationalist. Whether or not they're controlled opposition, hell, I don't know. But I would hope the people running controlled opposition have more sense than that. Well, I guess I would hope they don't, but I would assume they do, because they normally do. I'm giving two thumbs down to the whole idea of nationalist Bolshevik as retarded. I like farts. Now, that's a username. That's not my opinion. I like farts. Says lots of topics to discuss, but at this very moment, communists in New Orleans are running amok. Wondering your opinions on this matter and what part of our history heritage is next on the chopping block. Good question. I was on Radio Werewolf, I guess it posted yesterday or day before, and we discussed some of this, and I never remember things that I say, but I was I did a Twitter search for myself yesterday, I think, and so that I can see, you know, I do that a lot so that I can see which of my articles get shared the most and what type of reaction that they get and that kind of thing, just to kind of help me hone my craft a little bit. And of course, it pumps up my ego to see that people have been that they've enjoyed my work, that they've enough to have shared it. And and boy, my ego needs pumping up big time. I'm sure you can tell. But this one, I can't remember what his username was, but this one user on Twitter quoted me, and he said, these people, and he, in parentheses, he put Antifa. Apparently, I was talking about Antifa at the time. It's, these people could probably come up with a good explanation of why we should destroy the works of Da Vinci. And that's really what's going on. And I will answer your question, but let me get a little bit deeper into this. Let me expand the narrative, if I may. If there's one thing that I've been hearing since I was a young boy in elementary school back in the 1970s, it's that we were, you know, the Negro had had his history stolen by the white man because we had snatched him up in Africa and brought him over here, and that's why they had to have a miniseries called Roots, and they had to have all these guilty white, meaning Jewish, professors creating a made-up history for them. And the reason for that was, is that when you steal a people's history, that you're stealing a part of their soul, and that it causes them to have low self-esteem and all this other stuff. Well, of course, we know that the Negroes actually deserve that because they never had a history. If we'd left them in Africa, they still would have had no history. Their history, at least the ones that got brought over here, that's when it started, was when they got brought over here because there were white people to write it down. And it's the same thing over there in Africa. The only history of Africans that you get coming out of Africa comes from colonialist whites who were over there. The Africans, sub-Saharan Africans, meaning, you know, the wild African Negro, they never even bothered to attempt to come up with a written language. And so they weren't keeping their own history. But then you have a group like the white race that has such an illustrious history. You know, one of the more famous books about the history of the white race is called March of the Titans. And that is not a brag. We have marched across history like the Titans. And now they're taking it away from us. And, you know, what this, and it's not, I mean, I'm not saying the blacks are taken away from us. The left and the conservatives. I mean, remember, in South Carolina, Nikki Haley, who's now our representative of the UN, you know, the Rindawa Sharawa, or whatever the dotted bitch's name is, who wants to lecture us about, you know, how our illustrious ancestors who were willing to fight and die over, you know, for their, they were willing to shed their blood for that soil and their people, that they're something for us to be ashamed of, and the flag had to come down and all that good stuff. But, you know, the liberals and the blacks and, you know, all these groups that are basically shepherded around by the Jews are stealing our history from us. And now they're pulling up monuments in New Orleans, and the one that's supposed to come up, and they're having some kind of a big brouhaha over it right now, where they have Antifa and these communist niggers coming out and, you know, beating on old people and people who are, I mean, we're talking about the total non-racist cuck, heritage, not hate types out there. You know, the kind who will go and, you know, that they'll just fall all over themselves if one black dude comes out to one of their heritage festivals dressed in a Confederate uniform or waving a Confederate flag. I mean, they'll snatch that idiot right up and put him up on stage and basically say some nice things about us and, hey, bang some of our women. I mean, you're a based black dude. I mean, we've been noticing that little phenomenon in other areas of things lately. It's most specifically the alt-right. But yeah, that's how it works. And these people are like ISIS. They're exactly like Muslim fundamentalists. You know how wherever you have ISIS, whether you're talking about over in India and Pakistan and places like that where they have all the Hindu statues and or like down in Indonesia where they had the giant Buddhas and all that, ISIS will come along. And this is stuff we're talking about that is thousands of years old, some of it. And ISIS will come along and bomb that stuff. They'll just put explosives all around it, controlled demolition, kaboom. The history is gone. And now it's all Islam. It's all Muhammad. It's all ISIS. Well, that's what they're doing here in the American South. That's what the left and these Jews are doing, is that they are wanting to take our history from us. And for the most part, they're being allowed to do it. I've got an article here pulled up. Hold on, let me grab it. Yeah, here it is. Okay, and this is from the New York Times. Tempers flare over removal of Confederate statues in New Orleans. For Malcolm Suber, and remember I said communist niggers? Well, here is one, and you'll see by the time I'm done with this. For Malcolm Suber, the Confederate monuments that dot this deep South city stand for white supremacy, pure and simple. Instead of just taking them down, Mr. Suber, an African-American activist and organizer, would like to see the city pass out sledgehammers and, quote, let everybody take a whack, just like the Berlin Wall. For Frank B. Stewart, Jr., a white New Orleans native, the city government's plan to remove the statues, an idea championed by New Orleans's white mayor, Mitch Landrieu, feels like an Orwellian attempt to erase history. This week, Mr. Stewart, 81, a businessman and civic leader, argued as much in a letter he published as a two-page advertisement in The Advocate, a local newspaper. Quote, I ask you, Mitch, should the pyramids in Egypt be destroyed since they were built entirely from slave labor? Mr. Stewart added, what about the Roman Colosseum? It was built by slaves who lived horrible lives under Roman oppression, but it still stands today, and we learn so much from seeing it. Such are the irreconcilable parameters of an ugly battle over race and history in New Orleans that only seems to be growing uglier. One that demonstrates the Confederacy's enduring power to divide Americans more than 150 years after the cause was lost. And hey, it's not the Confederacy doing that. It's the kikes. Okay, it's these kikes like this one writing this article. But anyway, quote, I can't believe this is happening in my city, said Charles Washman, a 51-year-old contractor who was standing near a statue of Jefferson Davis, the Confederate president, on Thursday. Mr. Washman, who's white, was part of a group of protesters waving Confederate flags who had been attracting both honks of support and invectives from passing cars all afternoon. Like Mr. Stewart, he feared that removing the statues would deprive a history-laden city of a crucial layer of its past. It's a travesty, Mr. Washman said. And then it goes through all this crap about how great Landrieu is. And they mentioned that some people were arrested for disturbing the peace. There's no mention of, you know, what we already know, that Antifa has been showing up out there and they've been attacking and pepper spraying old people, and some of them black. They're like some black people who are into, you know, the Confederate history and stuff. They're out there and they attacked them too and called them coons and stuff. I mean, it's amazing. You know, Landrieu says they're going to stick to the plan, and he says, though it appears that will not be easy, removing the remaining statues will require the use of a heavy crane, and the mayor told the Times-Picayune that every crane company in the region had received threats. Well, I doubt that, but I bet lots of them refused to do this. Critics of the statues are planning a second-line parade to, quote, Barry White Supremacy Sunday afternoon, that's today, that will end at Lee Circle, the roundabout near downtown where the Lee statue is located. White supremacist and neo-Confederate groups have been encouraging their followers online to turn out as well, and city officials are on edge. We understand that there are strong emotions surrounding this subject, and we ask that the public remain peaceful and respectful while demonstrating, the city statement said. Yeah, you can just bet those Negroes are going to remain peaceful and respectful while they're demonstrating. I mean, they never do it at any other time in their life, but surely they'll do it today. And then you get down here to the end, and they ask this Negro, Suber, telling question. His answer is even more telling. Others said they worried that the removals would create a slippery slope. Where would it end, they asked. Would a statue of George Washington be next? Such concerns were unlikely to be assuaged by Mr. Suber, an adjunct professor of political science at Southern University, an avowed Marxist-Leninist, and an organizer of an anti-state group called the Take 'Em Down NOLA Coalition. He noted that he had been part of a group that persuaded the Orleans Parish School Board to pass a policy in 1992 that prohibited schools from being named for slave owners. It eventually led to a school called George Washington Elementary being renamed for Dr. Charles Richard Drew, a prominent Negro surgeon. On Thursday, Mr. Suber chuckled mischievously and said he would be delighted to see the statue of Washington over by the New Orleans Public Library come down too. He was a slave master, right? He said. So there you have it. You know, you scratch a Negro, and you find a communist. Fortunately, a retarded ape communist, but still a communist. But, yeah. So there, let me see what else we got here. Okay. Horwin says, do you think Obamacare will ever be repealed without the alt-right getting power? I'm horrified that my hopes and dreams of healthcare innovation in the future will be ruined all because of Gibbs me that. Okay. Well, as you know, the House passed this American Healthcare Act, or whatever Trump and Ryan are wanting to call it. And I think it's probably going to pass in the Senate, though it'll be made even worse. And no. I don't think that this is a repeal of Obamacare. It's a repeal in name only. And what it does is, you know, Obamacare was supposed to be the big, it was everything the insurance companies could have possibly wanted. It was billed as a thing that was going to be for the people and not the insurance companies. But it was basically, no, you're going to pay through the nose, and we're going to force you to pay through the nose. But what they've done, in effect, is, I guess the one thing you could say that they did that's good is they removed the individual mandate. But they've taken out a lot of the stuff that was actually, I mean, you know, of course, depending on your political leanings, but it was the stuff that actually sold the thing, like the no pre-existing conditions rule. Well, yeah, the people with pre-existing conditions are now kicked to the curb. And it puts in a tax deduction for wealthy people, and it basically gives the insurance companies everything else that they wanted. And no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, this is another case like with Obamacare. You had the worst of all possible worlds coming together under a shitty bill. And it's the same thing with this one. It's like it's not a repeal. They're just taking away some of the few actual decent things that were in it.
And like I said, no matter what political end of the spectrum you're on, there's a way that's better. It would be better just to totally do away with the thing on one hand and tell everybody you're on your own again. Get out there, get a job with insurance or buy you some insurance or hope you stay healthy or whatever. Or to go all the way to the other end, which is one of the things that Trump was actually talking about at the beginning of his run, which was just give everybody single payer, which I guess basically would amount to putting everybody on Medicaid, which of course, I mean, the thing is, we're never going to have a decent health care bill in the United States as long as the United States is this huge multicult. If we were still 90%+ of the population, we would figure out a decent way to get everybody health care, you know, whether it was free market or government health care. But as we've seen, you know, even countries that had really good functional healthcare systems in Europe that were government healthcare, that were, you know, the equivalent of what we call single payer, you know, socialized healthcare, they actually had decent stuff. Now, it had some disadvantages, but it was, you know, you weren't going to just be left out in the cold to do without until they started taking in all these mud people. And of course, the mud people come to the country. They don't contribute anything to the economy. They live almost exclusively on welfare. And not only do they have their ailments taken care of constantly, they generally show up with a very high ratio of expensive conditions when they get to the country, and they immediately start getting treatment, and it just completely overwhelms the healthcare system, and you end up with all these sick people laying in beds out in hallways for days on end with nobody caring for them, and people getting turned down for access to this and that they allegedly have a right to because they got to take care of all these friggin' immigrants and all their friggin' children. When, you know, the thing they should have done in the first place was sunk the boats and shoot the invaders as they tried to cross the border. Would have been far cheaper. So, you know, there's no easy solution to any of this. It's like everything else. It falls under the racial question. And until you solve the racial question, you're not going to solve this. And, of course, to solve the racial question, you've got to come up with a solution to the Jewish problem. Now, let me see if there are any more questions so I make sure and I don't give out any bad feels here. Okay, Racist Cat Lady says, you'll be posting a link and a phone number so I can call in and say hi, right? No. I don't have the agency to do that yet, as I explained at the first of the show. Hopefully that'll come at some point in the near future. But it's probably going to be farther away than closer because, as I said, I'm just overwhelmed, and I have a lot of stuff going on in my private life. Some of it is what we just talked about, trying to access some health care. I'm having health issues lately. Nothing serious. Don't want anybody to get concerned. But it is serious, but I'm not about to die or anything, so don't get upset. I do have insurance and everything, and just having some problems finding a decent doctor to go to and get all this stuff that I've been neglecting taken care of. But, hopefully we're right around the corner from having that taken care of. And of course, you know, money's always a problem. Being a professional racist is not going to make you into a wealthy person, trust me. I do this because I feel that it's necessary and because I'm a person who has the ability to put the time into it. And I think I'm good at this, you know. So there's that. But, you know, hopefully at some point in the future, I will be doing the daily live shows. It'll just be me. There'll be a quick intro. I'll run through some, you know, topics of the day and start and open up the phones and take calls. And then, of course, you're welcome to call anytime, Racist Cat Lady. Love to hear from you. And all the leftists, I hope they call too, because I'm not one of these guys that'll hang up on them. I'll be hoping for them to call. And I will show you how you troll someone IRL. I will take no prisoners. And Sol Invictus, he's responding to a picture that a Crypto Report image that has my Sasquatch Abby's head on Hermann Göring, and he says, "Wasn't the tubby guy the one he being Hitler assassinating for being gay?" No. Not, I mean, yeah, that guy was a tubby guy, but he was the head of the SA. Göring was anything but gay. And he was not assassinated by Hitler. He was put on trial at Nuremberg and committed suicide in his cell, if I remember correctly. Well, I guess that's going to be about it for this week's Crypto Report, hopefully. Well, we will be back next week. Hopefully, we'll have a more feature-rich show for you. Like I said, I didn't want to go 2 weeks in a row and not have a show for you guys. And I wanted to let everybody know that I'm not going anywhere. Even though I get mad on the internet every once in a while and say things like that I'm going away, I never go away. I'm like a virulent fungus. You just cannot get rid of me no matter what you do. So I'll be around. And I'll be doing this. Until next week, hail victory.